This is Brother Hanson from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of the Revelation. So we are at the third chapter, and we've been at the third chapter for a little bit. And let's read it and discuss it just a little bit. We went over briefly some of the first part of the third chapter. Now we're going to go over the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Greek wording here suggests that this is addressed not to the Laodicean church as a whole, but to its individual members, as it has been for years and years. The love of Christ is both collective for the church and individual for each member of the church. I will enter his house and dine with him. You know, eating, dining has a fellowship connected along with it. And this is why it's so important to realize that he'll come in and have dinner with you. That's how close that Christ can get to you, the believer individual. I will enter his house and dine with him. This is a sign of belonging to the same family, actually, a fellowship. Eating together for people in the Middle East, most both then and now, is a serious affair. An archaeologist and his son ate with a Jordanian sheik. They were there to ask him if they could dig near a burial site in his territory. After eating together, the sheik pointed at the 8-year-old boy. Now he is my son. And whenever he comes to Jordan, he is to come to me, and he will have a house and a woman and a horse. The boy was excited about returning someday, of course, being an 8-year-old boy and being promised all of these things by this sheik. He was excited about it, about the horse and everything. If Christ comes in and eats with a person, there is a familiar bond which cannot be broken. And all he has is shared by the one who with whom he eats. The church in Revelation, receiving the most severe correction, has received perhaps the most exalted promise of all, to sit with me on my throne. And that's in chapter 3 and verse 21. It has been said the church that takes a stand for nothing will fall for anything. You've heard that before, I'm sure. The Laodiceans took self-satisfied complacency to a height never envisioned in Sardis. Their problem was that they thought they had it all, just as the church today in the United States keeps preaching all this good prosperity and how we should be rich and drive Cadillacs and have $5 million homes, which a lot of preachers do. Look it up. A lot of these fancy preachers on TV and owners of some of these television networks are living in $5 million houses. And they buy their, and they, oh, some of them buy their wives $200,000 Lamborghinis. And without a blink of an eye. I can't imagine that. It's shameful to me. It's absolutely shameful, but that's just me. That's the way I look at it. But how absurd is this? The Laodiceans took self-satisfied complacency to a new height. How absurd is this? Is our storming of gates of heaven with prayers and pleas for Christ, when if we would but remain still for a moment, we could hear his still small voice knocking at our heart's door. If we just listen. Have you ever listened for Christ? He might be right next to you right now. You know, he always is. If you give him a chance, you may find that Christ is right there with you. And he's knocking at your heart's door, even as we speak. And if you allow him to come in, he'll sup with you, and you with him, and he'll have fellowship with you. That's how close Christ wants to come to you as a personal Savior. Do you know? This personal Savior, that's what separates Christianity from Islam and everything, every other religion, and actually some religions that claim to be Christian. It separates them as well from Christianity. Did you know that? And it's the truth. Let's read on the seven seals. God and the Lamb in heaven. And the vision, just chapter 4 and verse 1. Vision of heavenly worship. After this, I had a vision of an open door to heaven, and I heard the trumpet-like voice that had spoken to me before, saying, come up here, or come up hither, King James, and I will show you what must happen afterwards, or must shortly come to pass. At once I was caught up in the Spirit, as Paul was. Paul was caught up in the Spirit. He was caught up into the third heaven. Do you remember that? People do get caught up into the into heaven, into the third heaven. So it's something that happens to many people. So I was caught up in the Spirit, and a throne was there in heaven, and on the throne sat one whose appearance sparkled like jasper and carnelian. Around the throne was a halo as brilliant as an emerald. Surrounding the throne, I saw 24 other thrones on which 24 elders sat, dressed in white garments, and with gold crowns on their heads, representing a representative of the church, someone that meant something. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, seven flaming torches burned in front of the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne was something that resembled a sea of glass, like crystal.
In the center and around the throne there were four living creatures covered with eyes in front and in the back. The first creature resembled a lion. Second was like a calf. The third had a face like that of a human being. And the fourth looked like an eagle in flight. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, were covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night, they do not stop exclaiming and speaking, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever. They throw down their crowns before the throne, exclaiming, "Worthy are you, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Because of your will, they came into to be, into existence, and were created." This is a powerful statement, stating that these 24 elders fall down before God and worship him. Is this representative of the church? Is this the true church representing the saints of God, the elders? They're elders, not angels, elders. Do they represent the total of the church, just a symbolic? Are they symbolic of the entire church, the bride? Is this the bride of Christ, but in a 24 count representative? Could be. I'm going to stop there, folks, and we'll take this up tomorrow. I think this is a wonderful study. I love it. And we'll see what it has to say. Stay tuned. This is going to get good. It's going to get really good. So you don't want to miss any of these studies. Now, just uploaded like 20 to 30 studies on the website, krciradio.com. They're all free. You can go up there. You don't have to enter your life history, or you don't have to enter a credit card or anything like that. That's not us. We would never ask you for anything. I mean, they're all free, and freely you receive, freely give, is what we, our motto here at the station. Nobody takes a salary. Write to us. Let us know you're listening. KRCI Radio Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved.